Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along to episode 233 of the Milk Bar. Jason and Zoe here with you this week. Hello.
Hello, Jason.
How are you?
Very well.
Feeling
yes.
better?
Yes.
You were poorly bad. That
was
a bit poorly. It was quite a while ago, though, now.
It does feel like it.
It was
yes.
a week and a half, but there we are. So, what's been going on? Christmas shopping underway?
Christmas shopping, yes. Nearly got everybody's apart from the kids.
And
I need a few
me?
More bits.
And me? Have you got me?
Oh, yeah. I'll have to add
Christmas
my
show
list.
On the 23rd, I think it is.
I've been thinking about what to get you.
I don't know what to get you yet. Well, actually, I've got you one present, but I haven't got your something
Ooh,
that looks decent yet.
Sounds interesting.
So we'll find out what that is on the 23rd for release on Christmas Eve.
Very good.
So that'll
so
be
I'll
fun.
Look forward to that then.
Yeah, it'll be a treat. And then, of course, we're putting together things for the New Year quiz as well, aren't we?
Yes, that's
so that,
be fun.
That will happen. That,
am I the counter-upper again?
You mean scorer?
Yes.
Yeah, counter-upper. That's the plan. We just got to set the date and then so to get the guests. We've got people who are already lined up for this, so this
That's
should be
good.
Really
we're
cool.
We're organised this year.
Well,
then.
We're organised every year, but then suddenly people get drunk. But anyway, back to the plot and back to the show. Who's coming up on the show this week, Zoe?
Music, we have Alex Day.
Yes, and also a tune from Joseph Whelan a little bit later
Ooh,
on
yes.
too. As we'll be chatting with both of them. Also,
Wolfram Mountain, if you want to get a bit active over
yes.
the next few weeks.
If you want to fancy climbing a wall, if the kids are driving you up the wall, you can actually send them up a wall to get your
Tire
own back on them.
A bit,
yeah,
yes.
that would do the job. So we'll be finding all about that and what you can do to enjoy yourself there. And we'll also be talking about some slightly saucy, some historic and some romantic novels too.
Sounds right up your street, that does, Jason.
Emma Westwood on the line from Shropshire a little bit later on. As well as that,
we have. If you're a bit short of your Christmas presents, then we've got Shop on the Square, and we'll be talking to Tammy Murray about what's in store.
Is that everything?
I think so.
No, there is more. There's a gentleman sat over there.
Oh, yes. I could be missing.
Hayden Blair, hello.
Hello.
How you doing, mate? You all right?
Yeah, I'm good.
Good stuff. Now, we were just talking about how we bill you, because you're self-taught dancer.
Yeah.
Practical joker.
Yeah.
General troublemaker.
Occasionally, yeah.
Yeah, and but generally all-round nice guy.
Yeah.
That's the way we like it. So tell us a bit more about you, because you're a Wolverhampton lad.
Yeah.
And you have, what, over 200,000 followers on Twitter?
Yeah, I see, yeah.
How did that happen?
I think it all started when I started hanging around with a couple of band mates.
Yeah.
Friction.
Right.
I don't know if you've ever heard of them. They're actually over Canada at the moment,
mm-hmm.
and I started hanging around with them. I met them actually in a nightclub, and yeah, my cousin came over to me and says, "Oh, my cousin dances," and they came over to me and was like, "Oh, we heard you're a dancer." And I said, "Yeah, yeah, I'm a self-taught dancer," and it was like, "Oh, that's great. You know, we'd like to get you in a video sometime," and I was like, "Oh." You know, I wasn't too sure.
Yeah.
Because, I mean...
Yeah, there's one thing dancing in a nightclub and impressing the ladies, and there's another thing dancing on film and being the focus and centre of attention that way.
Yeah, I mean, about this time, I wasn't really into my YouTube, and I've only started... Well, about 3 years ago, I started putting up my YouTube videos, and at first it was, like, slow paced and all that kind of stuff, and then I started getting like people saying, "Oh, you're actually really good. You know, you should do some more." I mean, the first video I put up was about, 30 seconds long.
And the thing with YouTube is you know people are going to tell you what they're thinking, don't you?
Yes, they're very good.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's been some negative stuff in there as well, but by far the vast majority positive, yeah?
Yeah, definitely.
And from there, so you're talking on Twitter, you're sharing your life with people, and so Alex Day, who we're going to be talking to later on, he's very much he's a YouTuber and social networking lifestyle, as it were.
Mm.
And is that how you see yourself moving forward? Because you must be getting some ad hits from your YouTube stuff. So is there some cash coming in that way?
At the moment, I mean, like I said, it's only like started picking up at the moment. I mean, my last video I put up, it was a bit longer. It was about 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And a half, and that got over, I think it was like 33,000 views.
See, that's not
Ooh,
bad.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Where are they sort of viewing from? Is it all around the world? Or
I have a lot of people from Indonesia.
you're big in Indonesia.
Yeah, I'm very... Yeah, I mean, I get a lot of people on Twitter saying, "Oh, teach me to dance," and I'm like, "Oh, you know."
Well, I did it myself. Why are you asking me? You know,
that's the next thing you can do, like an exercise video, but with showing how people how to dance.
Well, there could be a DVD in the shops.
Yeah,
well, that's it. I mean, a lot of people were saying, like, you know, you should do tutorials or even classes, and like, to myself, like I said, I was only a lad who basically liked dancing mm-hmm. and wanted to share it with other people. And the
so
only way
gradually
I knew
turning
that,
into a career then by the sound well, of it.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I started about 3 years ago. In my back garden, just doing, regular moves and just copying people off YouTube videos and even music videos. And just from that, I got encouraged to put it on YouTube and then share it on a Twitter. And just from that, it just got really
built
big.
Built and built.
Yeah.
And the ladies love you, though, don't they? This is what's making a difference. Yeah.
I get a couple of weird comments on Twitter and I get
do
a lot
you take
of,
your T-shirt off like Joseph? Is that what it is?
I'm actually going to admit this. I do take a lot of photos from the top off. I have actually been told that majority of my photos are topless. But
so a picture of you and Zoe with you topless later, that's fine. Zoe will do the
no,
same.
I won't be topless. No.
But
that's a whole different channel, that is.
But you're having a laugh and enjoying yourself.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, when I started out, I mean, it was just something innocent, and I just wanted to share.
And now it's no longer quite so innocent, yeah.
And now, I mean, I've just recently went for the Britain's Got Talent auditions.
Now that's something which you have to tick a lot of boxes to get through on there. And the first time they see you, they maybe don't push you very far, do they?
No, I mean, when I first went, friends and family supported me to go and do this. Also, fans and followers off Twitter, they said, you should really go for a competition. And so I one night I saw it advertised on the TV and I thought, why not? I'll give it a shot. So I went down, nervous, and I just performed to my best that I can do. Mm-hmm. And I did get a no, but to be fair, that's only made me want to get even.
And you do it and you develop it, and they have something they're looking for.
Yeah,
and you work on it, you contact them, you see how it goes, and if once they know that you're doing well on Twitter and also on YouTube and things, you can see where it develops from there, can't you?
Yeah, I see.
Well, good luck with all of that, and it'll be interesting to see how the career progresses. And where do you go as far as what you do with your dancing? I mean, are you now available to book and come and dance in the corner at parties, or are you trying to turn it into a career that way?
I do want to turn it into a career. I mean, music videos.
So local bands, if you're looking for a dancer, maybe a bit of acting as well, and turns into a bit of a dance, Hayden's your man.
That's it, yeah.
Okay, let's say Alex stays on later on, so it could be the meeting of two great YouTube channels. We'll see if we can put you in touch at some point. But what do you do for a career? Is this linked up with your background as well? Are you in performing arts, or are you just at the moment maybe between jobs?
I work in retail at the moment, so.
So again, that's performance in itself, isn't it? To be
fair. Well,
because you're dealing with the public, and you've got to have that smile all the time.
I'm a very people person, and I think that's one of the main things you've got to do with a performer, and you got to interact with people, you got to project a good vibe onto people, and I think I do a good job of that.
Well, okay, you and your colleagues flash mob behind the till, set up a dance routine for them.
That'd be fun,
and that could work out. So
it could work out.
That could be good fun, and get that on YouTube as well. That'd be popular. Well, good luck with all of that. So if anybody isn't following you and should be, where do they go to?
They go at Hayden Blower. I've also got a YouTube channel which is The Hayden 92. Mm-hmm. And also,
which means you're 21, doesn't it?
I am 21.
I hate you.
It could be my son, Jason.
Yeah.
He's the same age as my son. How old do I feel now?
Very, probably. And you're leching already, I know, which is shocking. So then go along there and see what happens from there. And I'm sure they can get in touch with you, talk to you. If there's any opportunities, as you mentioned, with any bands or anybody, maybe there is a young lady who's longing to dance with you out there.
Yeah,
and
sure.
You could strut some moves.
Yeah, definitely.
That'd be cool. Hayden, good to speak to you. Thank you for dropping in.
Thank you much.
And we look forward to seeing your work on the internet soon.
Thank you.
Let's have a bit of music now then, Jason. It's Alex Day and I've Got What It Takes.
There are so many songs who don't follow their dreams. Ignoring their passions makes no sense to me. I could lie or waste time to follow the seasons. But I think I'd regret it when I fall asleep. I don't have superpowers, there's no magic spell, but I remain free. for things to go well. I'm not looking for miracles, at least for today. I know I've got what it takes. And it's hard when you start, and it's never at ease. The stars are so far, but they'll always be seen. I can't pretend, I'll just make things with no rhyme or reason. But boy, the work's worth it. When I fall asleep, I don't have superpowers. There's no magic spell, but I remain faithful for things to go well. I'm not looking for miracles, at least for today. I know I've got what it takes. There's no end in sight, so I'll take my time. Crossing the line, I'll keep holding on, keep singing this song. And if people don't like it, well, it won't bother me. Fame is still something I can say I've achieved. I won't forget that.
Phones we go now, where we find the man you've just been listening to. That was Alex Day with I've Got What It Takes, and he's now on the phone to tell us all about that song and what's been going on over the last 12 months. Hello, sir.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Yeah, great, thank you.
Good stuff. So last time we spoke would be pretty much 12 months ago.
Yeah.
And you were heading up to a big Christmas single last year, but this year you're not doing anything till 2014. What's going on?
Well, I've not been slacking.
Well, come on.
we want a Christmas one again.
I released an album in March.
We'll let you off on those grounds, then.
Yeah, that was like the end of all these singles that I was releasing, all sort of came together on that one thing. So now I've spent the rest of the year writing a book, which is about the London Underground, and I hope that's not as boring as it sounds.
There's a lot of different sort of people who use the London Underground.
And
so
some very strange things that must go on, I would have thought. So,
well, yeah.
What prompted that, apart from using the London Underground a lot?
Yeah, I just thought, well, okay, so it's about, like, I basically went to every station on the whole of the Tube. There's 270 of them.
Yeah.
And I thought, I don't know anyone that's ever been to all of them. And sometimes, like, you know, when you get on a train and it says this terminates at West Ruislip, and it sounds like this mythical place. Like, I don't know what West Ruislip looks like. You know, so I thought I'd go to all these different places and see what they're all like. And all the stations have their own little quirks and stuff. And so the book's about that. So each chapter is about a different line. And it's kind of like my sort of journey along the underground and also little
like
stories about the history of the Tube. Yeah.
Well, it's different and sounds interesting. So where can that be got from?
Don't know. I haven't finished it yet.
Oh, okay. So it's still an ongoing labour of love at the minute.
Yeah, I've written the whole thing, and I'm rewriting it at the moment, and my aim is to get it finished by Christmas Eve so that I can have the last week of the year off, guilt-free. so, yeah, I was rewriting it just before you phoned. That's what my life is at the moment.
Have you got somebody ready to publish that for next year?
No, I haven't. I've got an agent.
That's the next
thing. Well, yeah,
thing.
And the thing is, you very often like doing things on your own, don't you?
Yeah. It's a problem, this, because you can't play chapters of a book at the football, so
no.
I feel like
well, you could come and read
you can come and read a few bits. What there's always the opportunity for you to podcast a few chapters, get everyone interested with you performing them, maybe with some clips of you in said railway stations, and then see where it goes from there.
See, maybe you should be my agent. That sounds amazing.
Well, I have visions of the release day, you sat on a platform somewhere sort of busking a book.
That'd be amazing, getting one of the licensed bottle spots and just reading aloud.
Yeah.
But the problem is, because everyone's passing through, they'll just get odd little snippets that won't make any... They'll just sound like some weird beat poem.
But they might be interested from that. Even so, this is... Yeah, we're talking about London here, aren't we? But there we go. There's some strange people in London, as I'm sure you've noticed.
Yeah, I've written about loads of them, yeah.
Which is the favourite station? Do you have one in London?
I do, actually, yeah. Do you have a favourite station?
For me, railway stations tend to involve getting on at Wolverhampton, heading to London on the rare occasions I go, or maybe up to Liverpool. And I suppose I always did like Liverpool Lime Street. That was good for me. But as far as the Underground goes, it's always stressful because I don't travel on it very often.
Oh, I see. Okay. Mm. Yeah, my favourite one's Southwark, which is on the Jubilee line. And it's cool because it looks like a big igloo. Like usually when you get up at the platform and the escalator goes straight up to the ticket office, at Southwark, the escalators go up to this big igloo thing, and then you get up a separate set of stairs to go to the ticket office. There's just a middle bit for no reason other than that it looks really nice. I think
the architect wanted
to make it just artistic or something. But yeah, it's really nice.
Yeah, this is the joy of Victorians, though, isn't it? They got away with spending a lot of money on making things just look nice for the sake of it.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's the oldest underground, in the oldest railway in the world, isn't it? The Underground.
Yeah.
Mm, I think they're building some new bits to it, aren't they now? They're
always building new bits, yeah.
But how did you get on? Have you visited any of the now closed stations as well? Have you been allowed behind the scenes?
I didn't, I haven't spoken, this isn't like sanctioned by the Underground or anything, so mm-hmm. I haven't got any official, you know, special sneak peeks. I did go to Aldwych Station once, which is the big closed one, but that was, they had like a big open day thing for the anniversary of the Blitz, which was, I think, last year.
Well, maybe this could be the second novel in the series.
Maybe, yeah.
So I have one which I don't really like, and that's because of how deep it is. I'm not really keen on the one at Covent Garden.
Oh, yeah, that is
because it's really, really deep. Yes, it's quite
scary.
I'm
so sorry that you didn't expect this conversation at all.
No, that's... I would have revised, but no.
Sorry.
Well, when was the last time we did prep for an interview? Never, so you're okay. But it must be interesting trying to approach that from a book point of view. So what sort of things have you touched on when you've been writing the stories of what you've seen as you've travelled?
Well, it's partly because I try to wake up in the morning and then do a whole line in a day. So get out at each stop and have a look around. So I did the whole of the Jubilee line in one day. And so the whole chapter about the Jubilee line is about that day and all the sort of weird people that I saw and, you know, whatever. But then it's also, if I get to a certain station and there's an interesting story, like Westminster talks about sort of the history of Big Ben and why it's called Big Ben and all that kind of stuff. And also my personal history. So I just, when I get to Oxford Circus, I used to work there, so I just talk about that. It's kind of all different. It just spirals off on loads of different tangents, really.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds very interesting, I must admit. I think I'll buy that.
Yeah, line us up for a preview copy, and we'll have a chat with you when it's released.
Thank you very much. I'm still writing music, just so you don't think that this
well,
was...
Well, yeah, you mentioned there's an album on the way as well, and, you know, they never know. There could be actually an album released alongside your Tube stuff, too. I can see that coming.
Well, what I figure is, if I've got the book written, then while it's all getting released and sorted out, I can just sort of in the background, I can just be writing music and working on that. And then after the book's out, I'll be kind of ready to, like, here are all the new songs I've been doing in the background. So that's my plan, yeah.
Perhaps you could have like an album to go along with the book, so you could write a song for each station or
something.
That's one, at least line. Yeah. Yes. Not per station, because that'd be a huge, but yeah, one for each line. And you've got to try and find something to rhyme with Mornington Crescent.
That's a really good idea. I've been thinking about that for ages now. That's
okay.
Really good.
Well, as long as we're setting you a few challenges along the way, that's the way we like it. So yeah. You mentioned the fact there will be an album. Any idea when next year that's going to be?
I don't know. I mean, see, the thing is, I shouldn't really be writing music because I've got a book to write and I can't stop because I like doing it. You know, it's just one of those things. So in October was I had to finish the first draft of the book by the end of October, and I literally locked myself away and was writing like 3,000 words a day. It was horrible. I don't know what my friends look like. And
most of them you can download on YouTube, so you would have been fine.
Yeah. And I, by the time I was about halfway through that month, I hadn't really written anything, but I'd done about half of the album. So like, if I don't get the book written by then, at least I'll have these songs done. Because I kept wandering over to the guitar and I couldn't help myself.
Well, something will turn up from the magical mind that is Alex Day. And where are you on style and look at the moment? Because I know you've gone through phases on this one. You're not quite as colourful as you were before.
No, well, I'm sort of more colourful, but less. patterned.
Okay, right.
Probably the best way to put it. I mean, like right now, I'm wearing like just sort of brown jeans and a blue, like, pastel-y sort of T-shirt from, you know, the tie-dye looking sort of one. Mm-hmm. It's a bit like the sky.
But you do like your fashion. You do like to, you know, basically buy a wardrobe and then maybe swap it all over after 6 months.
Yeah, I do tend to do that. Instead of just buying new shirts, I sort of buy all of my clothes at once, and then I keep it. I just wear those clothes for ages, and then when I want to buy new clothes, I get rid of all the old. It's very dramatic.
The charity shops must have a field day when you can wander past.
Yeah, I mean, I'm also wearing a Christmas jumper at this moment. Looks like a Christmas pudding.
Right, send us
good
pictures. We want to see what you're up to. But
okay.
But you can find out your general style and look with your video blogging on YouTube. And is that something you've had time for of late?
Yeah, no, I've still been doing that. Yeah, I mean, it's just like Twitter, isn't it? It's just a way of telling people what I'm up to. And you've always got time for that. It's like socialising, sort of. So, yeah, I'm doing... Well, at the moment, actually, I'm doing a video every sort of couple of days, but yeah, I've been keeping up with that.
I'm impressed because I have to admit, I don't even like looking at a camera. I don't mind talking to a microphone, but looking at a camera and talking directly at it is something that hard work. So fair play to you for that.
Especially if like it's just the camera on its own. If there's a cameraman behind it, you can almost imagine speaking to the cameraman. But if it's just the camera on a stand, it's a bit strange.
See, I'm sort of the opposite now. So if I ever do an interview and there's like someone filming me and then the interviewer is behind the camera asking questions, they want me to look at the interviewer, but I end up just staring down the lens because that's what I'm used to.
Because you're so vain. That's what it is.
I just want to communicate directly to the people.
Okay, we'll let you off. Yeah, that's a reasonable excuse.
Thank you.
How do we find you on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, the rest of it? What do we do to catch up with when these releases come through?
Well, YouTube is youtube.com/AlexBay. That's all one word. And Twitter is that Alex Day. And then Facebook is Alex Day Music.
And you can just like you and everything there
and
get on with that. Because the album from earlier on this year, if you haven't got it, is bound to be good. I say, we've just heard one of the tracks from it. And it's...
That's the last track off it.
Yeah, well worth a listen, though.
Thanks.
Yeah, and is that track 20? Am I right in thinking that is track 20 off the album?
Yeah, it is. There are a lot of tracks on that.
Yeah. It is sort of, I'm going to give you everything. That's...
it's like a big collection of stuff. Like, there's some covers on there and there's some acoustic tracks on there and there's like demos and there's just a big bundle of stuff. It's only a fiver.
It's well worth buying. Obviously, I haven't yet, but it's bound to be well worth buying. And you see the videos on YouTube as well and go along to the channel and do all that. Alex, it is always lovely speaking to you. And the weird stuff that you do to make money is amazing, to be fair. It's a lifestyle in itself, isn't it, really?
Cheers.
But, have a good fun. Enjoy your Christmas. And we look forward to your offerings in 2014.
Cool.
Thank
you. Soon,
see you. Travel
now.
Bye.
Let's have another track then from Alex Day. This is his single from last year, Stupid, Stupid.
Stupid, stupid. No, 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 no. Prepared, heard the doorbell. I said it was on TV, but that won't stop you calling out into the empty street. You left the keys inside,
so you
got locked out in the rain.
But
you know I'm always here to let you in and say
you're stupid, stupid. Stupid. You're stupid, stupid.
And I love you. Such a shock, strange how you missed that. When you read both of our horoscopes, you wouldn't eat that pie.
Because
it looked like it had eyes.
Next time.
Next
time you go without. Remember what I'll shout. You're stupid, stupid. You're stupid, stupid. You're stupid, stupid. And I love you. And when you've heard this song, I know just what you'll say. I'm stupid, stupid. I'm stupid, stupid. I'm stupid, stupid. And you love me. We're stupid, stupid. We're stupid, stupid. We're stupid, stupid. And you love me. And I love you.
That was Alex Day and Stupid Stupid.
To the phones we go, where we find Julian Porter of Wolf Mountain, the climbing centre in Wolverhampton. Hello, sir.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm not too bad. Not too bad at all. Yourself?
I'm getting by. And you must be enjoying the fact that you're indoor climbing, so you haven't got to suffer the horrible cold weather outside if you do fancy going up a rock face.
It's true. It does give the alternative for those people that we don't see all summer back. So it's busy time for us, to be honest, with the climbers, because they tend to migrate back indoors, obviously, with the weather.
Yeah.
And then we've also got our regulars that are here all year round anyway.
Well, you have to keep yourself in training over the winter months, I suppose.
Yeah, you certainly do.
But you've had loads going on with Christmas parties over the last few weeks.
We have, and we'll run straight up to Christmas. You've got football teams, guides, brownie scouts, obviously. And those people that do have their birthdays at Christmas as well, obviously having their parties. So it's a busy time for us at the moment. But it's good fun because it makes the day go quick. And obviously people are here to have a good time and they're enjoying themselves. So.
And for people that haven't been there before, what sort of difficulties have you got with the mountains? I mean, what sort of age range is it for? If you're a seasoned climber, is it going to be difficult for you?
We've got such a big centre. We took over what was the old Compton swimming bath, so we actually built the wall into the bottom of the bath. So you've got a very big room for all the seasoned hard climbers. And we've got other areas. We've got a smaller room for younger people. So we've got an age range going, I'd say, 5 all the way up to. We've got a chap who's 92 that climbs on a regular basis. But we also offer archery. So you don't have to be so active for that. We also do mountain biking. We have summer, we have kayaking, canoeing. So, and we've got the largest indoor caving system. So it's a whole activity centre based in Wolverhampton. Probably not everybody knows all the activities we do. But
I was going to say, my son went to a birthday party there and I didn't realise that you did the... what's it called when you go underground?
Potholing.
Type thing. Yeah, I didn't realise you did that.
It is the largest indoor sculpted caving system in the UK. It's over 3 levels. It's very, very, very dark, but it's not wet and muddy like you get elsewhere. It's clean. And
if you get stuck, you can shout and someone will hear you.
Yeah, a bit of fairy liquid and we'll get you out.
I'm surprised you went through all the way through, to be honest, but I don't think I'd be able to do it because I don't like
I'm getting claustrophobic
spaces,
just talking about it, but if that's your thing, it's good. Going upwards, I can cope with. Underground, maybe not so much. But there you have got something for everybody, and you've just had some really good news over the weekend.
We have. Considering we live miles away from any real rock, you know, you have to go into Wales to get that, we do have an immense group of young climbers. And on Saturday, we had a young chap called George Morris, who's 13 years old, who won the British Bouldering or Free Climbing Championships. And then on the Sunday, we had Dominic Vincent, who's also a local Whitmarines lad. He won the British League Championships in his age group. So we've got 2 young people now on the British team representing Wolf Mountain, but on the British team. And they'll be competing across Europe. They've competed in various World Cup events across Europe in the next year. So that's fantastic news for them. And we also had some 10th, 14th. So we're quite a little hotbed. We're also Midlands champions at the moment for the youngsters. And we are often have plenty of people in the top 10 in Britain at all age groups, from as young as 8 or 16. But these 2 particular lads are now British champions, and that's something incredible because you're up against the Scots, the Welsh, the Irish, and obviously the rest of England. And to compete against people that maybe have real rock outside and therefore have a lot more access, then that's a fantastic result. So well done.
That is brilliant. Well done to them. Very impressed.
Very good.
And are you offering programs for people to come along and do the sort of training that puts them into that position as well?
Yeah, I mean, obviously what happens is you'll get a youngster that comes along and does a taster, and if they take to it and they want to get on involved in it, then we'll jump on the courses, and if they... they really show an ability, then they can come and train with the team. We train on a weekend and one night in a week, and we'll help them coach them as voluntary coaching. So myself and three other people who coach, and they can advance that way. But it's not all about competing. People will come and achieve for themselves. So you can come along and be climbing next to a British champion, but you'll still be getting to the top as well. So it's self-achievement for yourself. And it's not, and again, for some people, it's not all about trying to compete. It's about being safe and being able to work the skills and then take them outdoors. So
you actually do outdoor days as well, don't you?
We
so
do. We
can go on real mountains.
Yes, we do. Outdoor climbing days, obviously when the weather's good.
Yeah.
And we also do mountain biking on Cannock Chase. We take groups out for that as well. And we do kayaking and canoeing on our lovely Wolverhampton Canal. And it's not as bad as when I was a kid, I can tell you now. It's a lot cleaner than when I was very young in this area. So it is really a whole lot of activities for everybody in the family. And it's something like archery, where you can have a six-year-old and a 67-year-old in the same group shooting. And that, it's good fun, and people need to get out and use the facilities in Wolverhampton and just... that little bit of exercise can't hurt anybody, can it? And you do it to the level that you want, so you don't have to be shooting Olympic standard. You just need to give it a go. All of these. But what we have found is, we had a chap in a couple of weeks ago. He wasn't particularly keen on sport. It turns out every time he fired the bow, he was hitting goals. He's headed off to one of the local clubs, because again, we've got Wolf Archers, we've got Wolverhampton Archery Club, so there are places to go. Once you've tried it out here, we can forward you on to other people in Wolverhampton.
Yeah.
And obviously, the Midlands is quite well known for archery as well, with people making the Olympic team in the past from this area. So Wolverhampton actually is quite... I know we've got our football team that's maybe doing a bit better this year, but hasn't as well, but we also do have these minority sports where we do tend to do really well. I don't know what it's whether it's the council pop... or
there's something in the water.
There is something in the water.
You can be found at Paget Road in Wolverhampton.
Yeah, we're behind the City College, which was Wolfen College in its day. We're right behind there. We're at the back. Just follow it around the signpost. It's a massive car park. So available. I'm going to just do a little plug here, if that's okay. We're open 12 till 10 during the week, Thursday till 9 on a Friday, and then weekends we're open 10 to 6.
And you can give you a call on 01902 711 186. That's Wolverhampton 711 186. If you want to find out more, find out the full costs on the activities that you want and the number of people you're bringing down, or maybe even book a birthday party where the kids come home absolutely shattered and therefore you don't have to worry about how many E-numbers they ate and the food that they've been consuming all afternoon. Sounds like a sensible way of doing these things. Well, thank you for having a chat with us. Always good to speak to you. And
thank you
have a good Christmas and New Year.
Yeah, and when are you going to get down and climb?
I think I'm busy.
live broadcast.
Julian, we will see what we can do.
You like your heights, Jason. You've done bunch jumping.
I hate heights. I'm still regretting the time that I once agreed to go off the top of the Blackpool Tower, and I was so pleased when that was cancelled, I tell you. But we will have to come down with a tape machine and make Zoe climb a wall. We will do that at some point.
I do like climbing, must admit.
Merry Christmas to you guys.
Okay, you have a good time. We'll see you soon.
Thank you.
Julian Porter, thank you very much.
Cheers.
We sing together out of key. Although we try, it seems we just can't find a harmony. We just don't fit each other's frequencies. That makes you out of reach. And I am finally accepting that about you and me. It's plain to see, we only ever wanna stay inside and watch TV, because that's just as good a memory. You're just good company. And I am finally accepting that. Remember the time when we stole the whole day? And nobody knows it, we took it away. And it will be forever mine. And it will be forever yours. Now we own the night and it can't be undone. We'll never forget how it feels to be young. Cause it will be forever mine.
time and we stole the whole day. Nobody knows it, we took it away. And it will be forever mine, and it will be forever yours. Now we own the night and it can't be undone. We'll never forget how it feels to be young, cause it will be forever mine, and it will be forever yours. This will be forever mine, this will be forever yours. Now we own the night and it can't be undone.
Alex Day and Forever Yours.
Once more to the phones we go, where we find author Emma Westwood. Hello.
Hello.
Now, you write in a number of different genres.
I do, yes. It's pretty much whatever takes my interest at the time.
Okay, so romance is one of your big areas.
It is.
You do some horror stuff as well, do you?
I do, yes. It makes a nice contrast.
But what is this about Body Busters Unbound?
Well, that's the latest collection that I'm working on. And it's been classed as, by some people, Carry On meets Downton Abbey.
That's okay.
Gives you a good idea of what it is. It's a little bit naughty, but it's just a nice, fun way to introduce people to, say, some of the more classic novels, which people just think, you know, it's a bit old and dusty and not relevant for today.
So you're bringing the Brontes up to date, is that what you're telling me?
I am indeed, because there is one called, in fact, June Eyre, which is a homage to Jane Eyre.
So, you know, it must be fun to have a little play with these things and maybe borrow a few characters every once in a while. Have you gone that far yet?
I don't actually borrow characters. Well, I do kind of borrow characters, but in the nicest possible way. Yeah, it's just a lot of fun because I think probably what got me into this genre was Spike Milligan did a series of parodies of classic novels. He did Black Beauty and Treasure Island and Wuthering Heights. That was just a few of them. And Frankenstein, another one. And he just played around with the idea with them and just made them funny and accessible. And that's what I've been doing with mine. I don't necessarily borrow the plot lines of books, but there's one called Lady Chatterby's Diary, which is Lady Chatterley's lover crossed with, say, Bridget Jones's diary. And it's a lot more like fun and contemporary. It's written in a contemporary manner, but with a lot of like usage of historical words which have, say, gone out of favour, or they've got a more modern meaning. So, say, the word like trifle, where people go, do not trifle with me. And just have a lot of fun with that, because now for people it's a dessert.
It's a fantastic dessert as well. I'm looking forward to several of those over the festive period, I know that much. But it must be good fun doing this sort of thing. And do you get to do book readings as well and go out and take this stuff to people and watch them giggle and enjoy the stories?
I do, yes. I don't do it an awful lot because some of the passages can be real tongue twisters. Because I do a lot of like play on words with like alliteration, so they'll all like begin with the letter P, and there'll be a sentence of just letters beginning with the letter P.
Well, you've just set us up to try and find a book reading from you in about 5 minutes' time for that one. So you keep telling us, and then pick up the book and leaf through it. And that takes a massive amount of skill to get that thing to come together as well.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. The only way I can really describe it. I was trying to think of somebody that people could relate to, and it's quite a lot like how Ronnie Barker and Ronnie Corbett with their sketches where they do a lot of play on words.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite a bit like that. But I have a degree in literature, so like for 3 years I was studying why people put a full stop at the end of a poem, and I was just like, that was quite tedious, to be perfectly honest. But I thought, what if you played around with that and had a lot of fun? Because I thought, a lot of the time, an author doesn't, or a writer doesn't, think about why they're putting a full stop there. But it can make a huge difference. So it's just fun to play around with things like that.
Mm, as I say, it must be, I mean, I know it must be very amusing to read, but to actually set that up and set the passage up must be quite, not difficult, but you must be very clever at it. And like you say, know the words and the... studied it for quite a while.
Yeah, it depends, really. Sometimes you just got a scene in your head and you go with that, or sometimes you're like, okay, I have a word, or there's a little situation and I want to play with that, and it's trying to fit that in. There's one in one of them called Vanity and Virility, which is obviously a sort of parody on a Jane Austen title. There's like a little tiny chapter in that called Rude Nudes, So there's just like little things like that, and I've tried to like made little tiny chapter headings with like little words which rhyme and stuff like that.
It does sound like it's been a lot of fun for you to write.
It has. It can be quite difficult sometimes because you think I've written myself into a corner and I have nowhere to go with this. So it can be challenging, but other times it's mostly a lot of fun.
Yeah, do you sit there having a little giggle about what you've just written?
No, I normally sit there with my head in my hands despairing about whether, A, can I publish that? B, will anybody understand it apart from me? And C, like, does it work? Because for a lot, you can, there's got to be a fine balance between having words which are accessible or words which are ludicrous. You don't want to lose the reader kind of thing. You don't want them to become totally disinterested, thinking, what is that word kind of thing.
So you can't be too clever.
No, you can't be too clever, but it's nice to challenge people as well. Yeah. Sometimes you don't even need to know the word. You can just appreciate it for its complete and utter silliness.
And you get it in context with everything else that's around it as well.
Yeah, that's one of the main difficult things, is trying to fit it into a historical context, because all of these Bodice Busters Unbound are all an historical collection.
Mm-hmm.
So it's trying to make sure that you have words which are appropriate for the time.
And also, yeah, have good meaning today as well.
Yeah.
I suppose that changes a little bit when you come to your supernatural romances that you've been working on too.
Yes, I do supernatural romances, because at the time I was writing them, Twilight had just been out and it was huge. And I have to say, I did enjoy the film immensely. And I thought, well, there isn't really anything in the market that bridges the gap between Twilight, which is a teenage fiction, that's what it's classed as, and the other end of the spectrum, you have like Anne Rice, which is a bit more graphic, it's more adult.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought there'd be there's just missing somewhere a nice bridge in the market. And I also found that with like vampire novels, because they're so old, you tend not to get a lot of their history, or they're very sort of depressed about their history kind of thing. And I just like the idea of playing with that and like having a contemporary novel, but you have flashbacks to more like historical events.
And again, it's that something maybe somebody will know a little bit about, or will be spurred on to go and find out a bit more about the actual event you're writing around.
Well, exactly, yeah. It's a nice way to introduce people to like different historical events. I mean, I can just be watching a TV programme and think, oh, that's interesting. And you just, like, there's little bits that you pick up on, like Versailles and what that was like, and all, like, the candles in the Hall of Mirrors. And you just think, wow, there was, like, 5,000 candles lighting that room or something. And it's just, for me, that's quite interesting. And I think for some other people, that may be like, oh, yes, I might go and look that up. But Versailles was horribly filthy as well. There was a complete and utter different side to it. There's the palatial side, and then there's the actual side of where people were living. And it was just like a building site.
And probably about 3 foot of wax on the floor as well, I'm guessing.
Exactly. There was stuff like that. And because there were no plumbing facilities, you can imagine what was going on there. People didn't bathe, you know. So it would have been sort of like being in a stable, I would imagine. A very fancy one, but I wouldn't imagine it would smell particularly nice.
No, the pomander is an essential accessory.
Yeah.
So your work can be found via emmawestwood.co.uk, but you also sell through Amazon, and you can buy your books as e-books. And
yes,
if people want a physical paper version, can they get those from you as well?
They can do, yes. On my website, there will be a link to my email address, and they can get that from me directly, and then I'll sign them.
It's even better. I do like a nice signed book. That's always good. And you're actually based just in Market Drayton, Shropshire?
Yes, I am, yes.
So are there any Shropshire-related stories, whether it be of vampires bursting out of bodices or otherwise?
I think one of my vampires is actually based in Shropshire, but I haven't written one in Shropshire yet.
Okay, well, we should look. Ooh, I mean, which Wenlock's got some fantastic history, as well as all the streets of Shrewsbury, so that could prove interesting.
I know, it's completely underrated. I have to say that one of my, at the back of Terror in the Dark, which is one of my horror suspense novellas, there is a segment which is like based on the layout and architecture of Shrewsbury and Chester, which is quite a nice idea, because you have all those really nice old buildings, but you've got modern buildings as well, and that's for that's got a nice little short story in there. So I do base them there. I like to base stories on places I've been. So the houses that some of the people are in, they're based on, like, country estates I've been to and visited. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and the cities are mostly places I've been to. I like to draw on that. I think it's interesting.
Well, worth a read, I'm sure. So get yourself along to emmawestwood.co.uk or email emmawestwoodauthor@hotmail.co.uk and you can get your hands on those books and find out more about some interesting naughty tales and a little scary one or two too. Emma, lovely speaking to you. Thank you for joining us.
Lovely speaking to you too.
And we look forward to seeing more of your work in the near future.
Thank you very much.
Cheers. Bye-bye. Try for now.
Bye.
Now, Zoe, you've been doing your Christmas shopping, haven't you?
Oh, yes, trying to.
Have you seen the shop in the square in Wolverhampton?
No.
Opposite the Man on the Horse.
Is it?
Yes. And the lease has been renewed until June of next year, and you can get yourself down there to tell us more about some of the items on sale. We have their candle maker, Tammy Murray. Hello.
Hello there.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good stuff. Now, the shop in the square is well positioned, isn't it?
It is. It's got a prime location. It's right in the square, as you said, opposite the horse. And it's going extremely well, and we're really pleased that it's open until June, because it gives all the sellers in there a chance to show off their wares and hopefully make a lot of sales.
Yeah, is it all like arts and crafts and homemade things?
Yeah, it's all homemade stuff in there, and it's all local businesses.
So all cottage industries, really, are from around the Wolverhampton area?
Yes, absolutely.
And there's about 40 different sellers now who are providing their wares?
There is, I think there's nearly 50, actually, but yes, they're all in there.
And what sort of things did you have in there? What does it range from?
It ranged from Christmas cards, greeting cards, to artwork. There's jewellery, and I've got my candles in there with home fragrances. And there's also lots of things for children, teddy bears and lovely monkeys. Yeah, lots of lovely things, really, that you wouldn't necessarily see on the high street.
Yeah.
And something different, you know that you're not going to be able to get an exact copy of that anywhere else in the UK. It's someone local, they've made it, and this is what that you're looking at, and you're buying something handcrafted.
Absolutely.
And it must be good fun doing it, and particularly for candles for you for this time of year. There must be some fantastic scented candles you've come up with for the seasonal market.
Yeah, I mean, it's fantastic, actually. And I used to sell cars, and to go from selling cars to actually doing something which is more like a hobby has just been fantastic for me. I love every minute of it, so it's been great.
And you can also provide something different. And scented candles, when you're looking at some of the big brands, they are very expensive for what you're getting. And often it's a factory-produced piece, and you don't get something which is personal. Because I'm sure that many of the traders in the shop will happily take orders for a custom item.
Absolutely. I mean, we have lots of orders being taken, for the monkeys, which are all made out of socks, but they're just fantastic if you haven't seen them. So it's had a great response. It's brilliant to be a part of it, actually.
That's like really good fun. And yes, if it is something you enjoy, then you can actually get feedback, whether it be directly from spending some time in the shop and seeing what people are looking at, or just through Charlotte, the manager, getting in touch and saying, well, they love these ones. You know, it must be really good and builds up what you're doing. And not only, as you say, it's a hobby, but it's a business. But it's one which you can actually get a great deal of pleasure from.
Absolutely. And it's a great platform that we've all got, that we're able to put our things on the high street, like you say, that we wouldn't normally be able to do, because with the expense of opening a shop, it just wouldn't be possible for new start-up businesses.
And if people are interested in getting themselves in there, how does it actually work? And is there a fee for each item sold, or how does it come together?
Yeah, well, they'd need to go and speak to Charlotte, who's the manager, who runs the shop, and she would need to look at the item. So I would just suggest anybody that's setting up a business, they'd have to be registered self-employed, that's the first thing. And really, take it from there. The items will go in, and there's a percentage that will go to the overall running of the shop.
Yeah, there's big overheads in having any shop, isn't there?
But it's only a small percentage to what we, to our overall layout, if you like. So it's very worthwhile.
And it is that platform to be able to get your work seen?
It's brilliant. We're in a major city. and it's been welcomed. The response has just been phenomenal, really.
Mm. And what's going to happen? You say it's going to be open till at least next June. So what are you hoping for after that time? Are you hoping to have it extended again, or
yeah,
will you move
we are.
Somewhere else? Or?
Yeah, well, we're hoping that it will be expanded again, and we'd love to get that spot and keep it there, really.
Yeah.
But to do that, we need to do as many promotions as we can to get as many people through the doors and to keep on selling and doing what we're doing and to keep the stock moving and getting new things in all the time.
Mm. I shall be through on Saturday morning because I've got a few items I need to get to finish off my Christmas shopping, so I'll come and have a look and see what we've got.
I'm after a candle as well.
Okay, well, we know a young lady who makes them.
Yes,
so.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, we'll send Zoe in as well. But good to speak to you. Keep up the good work
and keep
making people's homes fragrant over the festive period.
Thank you very much.
Cheers.
Okay, bye.
Thank you, Tammy. Bye for now.
Bye.
Let's take some more music now. This is Joseph Whelan. We'll have a chat with him in a moment at his time. First of all, here's Marilyn. Where we find the one and only Joseph Whelan. Hello, sir.
How you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad.
And it's life after X Factor, but to be fair, that's probably the best way forward, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, I think, you know, it was disappointing, but I think things have just gone a bit more crazy now, so it's all good.
They have. Yeah, you haven't stopped moving since it all happened because you've been gigging up and down the country.
I know, I'm tired, but I'm still going for it.
Yeah, because you've got a gig. Is it the 20th in Wolverhampton?
Yeah, it is Slide Rooms on the 20th, yeah. So I'm looking forward to that one. That's going to be great.
Can I just say, you're sorely missed in the final, I think, because they all seem, the singers that are left in there all seem fairly similar, apart from Luke Friend. And I think he's sort of Rocky, which is where you would have fitted in.
Yeah, so I think it's a bit of, I don't know, I think the whole final, I'm not sure about the... So some of them, I think, could have been some better people in the final. I don't know.
They're very ballady, aren't they? I suppose it's because it's not really my thing. But
it's very power songs, and you know, yeah. Sort of ballad, yeah. Like you say, ballads. But let him get on with it.
Yeah, it's a bit of rock we did.
But did you still keep in touch with any of the other contestants, or is it?
Yeah, all of them. To be honest, Sam, Luke, who's all the people who are still in it, I'm still in touch with, and a lot of the finalists more so than last year. I was only to. I don't know, I got on with, last year I kind of tended to keep myself to myself, but this year I've, mingled with a lot more people,
And I think they were all surprised that you weren't there with them, to be fair.
I think there was a lot of them were surprised when I didn't get through, to be honest, but it was...
Particularly because you kept taking your clothes off.
Well, I've been doing that since day one.
Oh yeah, I remember.
Would that have been in his best bits, Jason?
Here's his tattoos, yeah. But you've been exposing yourself on your new calendar as well, haven't you?
I have got a new calendar. It's not as exposing as what you think, though.
I haven't seen it. All I know is that your picture has changed to you with your shirt off again.
Again, yeah.
Is it just 12 months of shirtless? Oh, well, there are some fully clothed ones in there.
There are, yeah. I've tried to break it up a bit.
not like you at all. There we go.
No, definitely not.
So that's on sale. Are you selling that at the gigs as well?
Yeah, I mean, it's like I say, the gig-wise, the main one I'm concentrating on this month is the Wolverhampton gig, because it's the first time I've been in Wolverhampton town, apart from being at the Wolves ground, but it's the first time I've been doing my own show in Wolverhampton since I was on the X Factor even the first time.
Oh, right, cool.
I only realised that the other day, even since like I've very first went on there, I've never actually done Wolverhampton town.
You've been in demand, though, this is what it is. So the Slade Room's on the 20th, what time's the gig?
It's going to be, I'm going to be on stage around about 8:30, 9 o'clock, but the door's open at 7, I'll have support that come as well.
Okay, brilliant, so you can see the support down there too. And if people want tickets, what do they do?
They can get them from the Wolves Civic website, or they can go to the box office in town and go.
Pop along, I want to go and see Joseph Whelan. Will he keep his clothes on?
Probably not.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah,
that's probably going to encourage people.
They won't be disappointed.
You can pretend like I do, that's the problem.
Yeah, right. You're a tart and we know it. But there we go.
Cool.
Well, you have a good gig and a fantastic Christmas. And once again, thank you for when you did come and sing for me down at Molyneux. We had a good time with that, didn't we?
Yeah, I did, man. Anytime you want me to do that, mate, I'm all up for it.
All right, we'll sort you out. We'll see what we can do. Okay then, sir.
Thank you.
Cheers, buddy.
See you soon. Ta-ra for now.
Thanks, man. Bye.
So that's your lot for this week.
Yes, it's been busy, hasn't it?
It has, and we're approaching Christmas at a frightening rate, but there we go.
Only a few more weeks. Are you all ready? All wrapped?
No, mostly wrapped, yeah. So I've just got a few extra bits to pick up, which is where I'll be in town on Saturday
morning.
Square. Yes, that's the way, the shop in the square. So we'll sort that one out. And Hayden, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
No, good to have you along. And we look forward to next week's show. Zoe, we'll see you then.
Hopefully.
Fingers crossed. Ta-ra for now.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye from the milk bar. 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 Yeah. Goodbye from the milk bar. Yeah.